last week, Bill spoke about the parable of the wicked tenant, although I don't think you called it that. I can't remember what you called it. but we're going to continue with the parable series today, and again, looking at another parable that's sort of got a bit of a provocative nature to it, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which takes place a little bit before the one we heard about last week. But again, it shows Jesus at his sort of most radical, turning the tables on society as it is at the time. So we're going to have a couple of readings in a minute. But first of all, we've got a little bit of a video, a cartoon, because I've tried to find books to read and do it that way. But I've discovered YouTube and it's so much easier. So over to YouTube.
One day, Jesus told this story to some people who thought they were very good and looked down on everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. Tax collectors were hated by many people. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: I thank you, God, that I am not bad like other people, cheaters and sinners. I'm certainly not like that tax collector.
Ha ha!
I fast and give up eating food twice a week, and I give you a tenth of everything I earn. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest because he was so sad, saying, God, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. Then Jesus said, I tell you, when the tax collector went home, he was right with God. But the Pharisee was not right with God. Everyone who makes himself great will be made humble, but everyone who makes himself humble will be made great.
Sitting on a stool reading about it. So we've got a couple of readings. The first one is from Luke 18, 9 to 14, which is the parable. And Ruth, if you're doing that one. And then after that, we've got another reading, because I'm being radical, which is from Mark 2, which is Duncan, if you can do that afterwards, that'd be great.
The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
This is Jesus calls Levi and eats with the sinners. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, Why on earth does he eat with the tax collectors and the sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.
So yes, as I said, we're going to continue with the parables. There's still quite a few on our list, so to keep lots left, so to keep us busy for a while. And this one kind of I quite like this one because it sort of it turns the tables on people and actually speaks quite well, or should do, to us all, because, you know, we can sometimes make the mistakes that the Pharisee does. And actually, I think that's the great thing about this parable, because it really is quite provocative. A bit like the one that Bill spoke about last week, it takes a big swipe at the powerful religious figures of the day, whilst painting those who are probably the most hated people in Jewish society at the time as capable of being more worthy. I mean, perhaps if we were to modernize it, thinking about what's going on and what's been going on over the last few years, perhaps it would be the Archbishop of Canterbury and Boris Johnson go to pray. And I think all of us, a little bit like if somebody tells you an Englishman, an Irishman and a Scotsman walk into a bar, you kind of know where it's going to go. You think, yeah, this is great. I know the punchline here. But that's the great thing about this parable. So the Pharisees were pretty much the most important people in first century Judea. They had a lot of power. They'd sort of done a bit of a deal with the Romans so that they could carry on being powerful when it came to Jewish life and tradition. They commanded and also demanded respect. Their opinions mattered. Their views were the right ones. And then on the other hand, we have the tax collector. They were not the right kind of people. They worked for the Romans and were looked down upon because they'd made a bargain to work for the Romans. They were the hated occupiers of Judea. Their reputation was that they made themselves rich by fleecing and skimming off the top of the taxes that they collected. So they were robbing their own people. That never goes down very well. They were considered dishonest and were pariahs in society. So the audience that he's speaking to probably had in their minds an idea of what was going to happen at the outset of this, to a Pharisee and a tax collector go to pray. The view was probably, I know where this is going. I'm doing everything right because I'm a Pharisee and that tax collector is evil and Jesus is going to tell me this. So they must have been a little bit shocked with the outcome. But then Jesus has a bit of a form with turning social norms on his head, as we heard about where he called Levi. One of his first apostles that he calls is a tax collector. That's not going down the right route, really, is it? And he doesn't have any issue with fraternizing with social outcasts. He's quite happy to go and have a decent meal with them. And then he takes, he overhears something that isn't meant for him if they're asking his disciples, and he overhears it and says, well, the sick don't, it's the sick that need the doctor. You know, I've come for that. So he doesn't have any issue with people who society would rather didn't exist. And so that's sort of the setting of this. So it's quite a radical thing to turn on its head. But actually, this is also a tale of two very different prayers. The first prayer, if you could call it a prayer at all, is of selfishness and pomposity. God, thank you that I am so perfect, that I am not like those horrible people out there. They are so evil and I am so perfect. I don't just do what you ask of me, I go one better and do more than you ask, etc., etc. You know, the Pharisee says, I fast twice a week. Jewish religion didn't ask them to do that. But here he is going, I'm even better than that. I'm surprised he didn't say, I give 20th of what I earn, just to really rub it in. Yeah. Oh, what a, okay, yeah, 20% then. That's what I meant. Thank you. This is why I didn't do A-level maths. Yeah, yeah. Well, she is doing further maths, so, or Greek, I think it is. So the prayer of the Pharisee, as I said, isn't really a prayer at all. It's just a list of all the things that he thinks make him perfect. He's just boasting about himself. If he's thankful, he's thankful for how perfect he thinks he is. He certainly isn't sorry for anything. He clearly doesn't think he's ever done anything wrong in his life. In his mind, he has nothing to be sorry about. And he certainly doesn't say please for anything that he feels that he needs. The tax collector's prayer is very different. Not only is it incredibly short, all he says is, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The tax collector's prayer is a prayer full of humility. He even stays at the back. You know, he doesn't, it's like he doesn't want to be seen by anybody else in the temple. And almost like he doesn't want to be seen by God either. He sort of doesn't look up to heaven or anything like that. He just looks down, beats his chest, and just asks for mercy. He clearly knows his failings. Whereas the Pharisee only sees his greatness, the tax collector knows he's not necessarily doing the right things. And he asks God for the one thing that he really needs, and that's mercy, because there's nowhere else to start from. The tax collector recognizes his unworthiness before God. The Pharisee only highlights his perceived sense of other people's unworthiness. This is a guy called Tom Constable. I was looking up about this, and he's a doctor of biblical studies, I think. And he said this about the tax collector's prayer. He did not boast of his own righteousness, but pled with God for mercy. Acknowledging his sin, he used God as the standard of righteousness and confessed that he fell short. He knew his only hope was God. Growing up in the churches that I went to, every Sunday before communion, there'd be a bit, they've changed the words recently, which I find very confusing, but when we go to Mass with my parents, but before communion every Sunday, there'd be a bit where we said, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed. And I think it's taken from the story of the centurion and sort of transposed to be about us. And I think it's quite a useful phrase because actually it reminds you every time that actually there's nothing that we can do to make ourselves worthy before Christ. It is that he makes us worthy through what his sacrifice. And there are so many stories like the centurion who, you know, said, my servant is sick, can you help? And Jesus says, I'll come. He's like, no, just, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say it and it will be okay. There's the woman that sort of grabs the hem of his cloak. You know, again, she's just throwing herself at his feet. So, with this parable, what does it tell us, and how does it help us now? So, I think the first thing to note is we need to make sure we don't make the same mistake the Pharisee makes. No matter how sorted we may feel our faith is, we still need to come to God in humility. It can be very easy, I think, sometimes, sat in a church, to think that somehow those outside may not have the right to come in. Sometimes they feel that themselves because they perceive that we are like the Pharisee. So we must always make sure that we don't make that mistake, that we don't look down on others. In fact, perhaps we need to be even more humble because we do have the gift of faith. When we approach God, a lot of the songs that we've sung today so far have been about the majesty of God. You know, we need to approach that majesty with such humility because it is so great. In the first hymn that we sang, there was a line about, you know, we can't hide from sinful men. You know, we can't see that glory. Yet through Jesus' sacrifice, we have the opportunity to. We need to also recognize that we can't earn heaven. You know, it doesn't matter how many times we fast, how much money, 20% or a 20th, that we give. That doesn't help us earn our place in heaven. That gift has been given by the sacrifice of Jesus. So we need to recognize that we can't do anything to earn it. We can live out the faith and that gift by doing good things, but that's not what gets us there. We need to give God the credit. Where the Pharisee ends up taking credit for the good in his life, we need to recognize that that good comes from God. We need to be careful not to get derailed in our prayers like the Pharisee does in his. The Pharisee's prayer looks out at other people and points out the sin in them. We need to acknowledge the sin in our own lives. I know I do this. We can all perhaps underestimate our own failings. I'm perfect after all, so, you know, there we go. Jesus tells us that even a just man sins 7 times a day. So that's, you know, for the rest of us, that's pretty damning, really. So we need to be honest and lay our sins before God. If we ask God for forgiveness, we'll be given it. We just need to acknowledge it. It's the attitude of the tax collector that we're looking for. He knew he'd blown it and asked God for mercy. We need to do the same. Jesus tells his audience that it is the taxpayer who went home justified. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Again, it's Jesus turning things on their head. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, he does the same thing. It flips what people's expectations were. You know, the more power and greatness you have on earth, well, that's not going to be how it is in heaven. I'm going to just finish with a prayer, and then I think it would be really good to have a time, if Steve could go and play some incidental music, to have some time to reflect on how this affects us, to take some time to consider our own failings and difficulties and pray for that mercy from God so that we can be right with him. Dear Jesus, help me to be aware of and truly sorry for my sins. If there is anything that I am not aware of, help me to see what it is. Lord, help me to have the humility of the tax collector. Help me to recognize my failings. Help me to take responsibility for my actions. But most of all, help me to be humble and recognize that it is through Jesus that we are justified and made right with you. Amen.